Good evening, everybody. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Alexandra Fernandez. Today, I am joined by Carrie Hill, director of No Clear Cuts Kingston, which is a nonprofit residence group. And Carrie is here to talk to us about the proposed tannery development and what No Clear Cuts Kingston has been advocating for and doing to halt and just stop the proposed development. So, Carrie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, you're very welcome. I really appreciate it.
Of course. So jumping right into it, the tannery development proposal involves filling in a part of a wetland, clear-cutting a forest of over 1,800 trees, and also digging up a lot of tons of earth. Can you break down for us what are some of the more complex concerns with this plan besides the obvious of taking down a bunch of trees, going into the ground, and things like that? Can you, break it down a little bit more for us?
Yeah, the clear cutting is really what started No Clear Cuts on this whole campaign. Clear cutting 1,800 trees of, actually there's a lot more than 1,800, but those are ones that are larger than a minimum that's required by the city to charge a cutting fee. However, the developer has been given a waiver on this, so he doesn't have to pay for clear-cutting all of the trees. Mm-hmm. And there are some massive trees there. There's a white oak that's over 200 years old. And, of course, we all know that what trees in an urban setting, they stop erosion from rainfall or snowmelt. They're important in controlling the temperature. Kingston is a city that has been demarcated as a potential heat zone by the University of Waterloo. So we should not be cutting down trees. And planting saplings is not going to take the place of this forest. It's 37 acres. I've walked through it a number of times. It's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And removing everything is just the beginning of it, removing all the trees. The other aspect that I've got really interested in is the state of contamination. It is a former tannery, and in the tanning process, they use chromium as the leather softener in the process. And the tannery just poured the excess chromium into the surrounding marsh and soil. So measurements have been taken of the contamination, and it is heavily contaminated. There are no question about that. However, the contaminants that are there, mm-hmm. mainly chromium, but also a few other things, are essentially inert because they're tied up in the humus of the soil. And they're also in a form that can't be absorbed very easily at all by living beings. Mm-hmm. And I think the life of the forest that's there shows that the amount of contamination that's there is not actually polluting the environment. In other words, it's not having a noxious effect on the life that's there presently. That forest grew up in about 60 years, so mm-hmm. it is really impressive to see how things have been able to grow on this heavily contaminated and toxic, which it isn't, land. The other thing that I want to say is that this is categorized as a brownfield in Kingston, but it's not the standard brownfield like an old gas station or even where a house had been, a residence, and torn down. That's considered a brownfield.
Mm-hmm.
This brownfield is heavily contaminated, and if you look, I've done a search of the internet to try to see where anyone else in the world, in the developed world anyway, has built residences on a tannery brownfield. And although there are a number of places where the buildings have been used as business offices or open-air markets, I can't find anywhere where the land around those tannery buildings have actually been built on for residences. And the problem with attempting to build on or planning on building on at tannery brownfield is, or any brownfield that's contaminated, the province requires that all of those contaminants must be removed. Many of these contaminants are, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet in the ground. So that all of that soil, it's 400,000 tons that is recommended that should be removed.
Wow.
That breaks down to, you know, approximately 20,000 truckloads. Just around that area, anybody living there, I don't know how long that would take to remove all that soil, but there's going to be massive disturbances mm-hmm. of the people that live around there. Soil is going to be dried up and released into the air, and now the chromium could potentially be oxidized to a form that is very toxic.
Okay.
And also it can be washed off because there's no trees to hold back the runoff from rains that can be washed off into the river, which right now the water in the river is essentially clean.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't contain significant levels of the contaminants, and it's none of the pollutant forms of chromium.
Thank you so much for giving us a little bit more of a rundown of, you know, what all these things basically that the developer wants to do, how it will affect not only the wildlife that exists in that area, but also us as people as well. So thank you for explaining those concerns to us. Where exactly is the tannery development proposed for?
It's the area of the city is North Kingstown, and if you know the Inner Harbor at all, it's in the northwest corner. If there are a couple of parks, Douglas Fuhrer Park and the Rowing Club, and then there's the forest mm-hmm. on the northwest corner of the Inner Harbor. I don't know if people know where Bell Island and Bell Park are on Montreal Street, but they're on the north edge of the marsh that
right.
Is partially contained on the tannery property.
Okay. And so No Clear Cuts Kingston has also asked for a federal impact assessment. Can you tell us more a little bit about what exactly a federal impact assessment is and the importance of the group submitting one or requesting one from the government and what that could, you know, hopefully mean and lead to?
Yes. Oh, certainly I'll try. There are some parts of the development which are going to affect issues that are under federal jurisdiction. And the first one is Indigenous consultation. Bell Park, there's a small island at the end, which is an Indigenous sacred site, is an old burial ground. There have been remains of bodies that are up to 1,000 years old on that small island. That island is directly across from the tannery development. And that island is used by the Bell Island Caretaker Circle to carry out meetings isn't the right word, but with their people and mm-hmm. Ceremonies, I guess, would be a more appropriate word. If you can imagine having a block of 8-story apartments there with up to 5,000 people living there, just across a small bay, they haven't been consulted at all about this potential significant interference on their practices.
Hmm.
I think in this day of age of truth and reconciliation, the Indigenous people need to be consulted.
Mm-hmm.
The city planning staff has decided that, and I think that this comes down from the province, that there is no requirement for them to consult directly with any Indigenous groups. The only consultation that people can do is as individuals. You can write a letter to the city or you can go to the public meetings, but there is no, the city has made no attempt to consult with any of the local Indigenous groups, of which there are a number of them. There's no reason for not doing this. So since this falls within federal jurisdiction, we've described that the situation to the feds, the Impact Assessment Agency, and we're hoping that they take us up on looking into the potential effects on local Indigenous populations.
Mm-hmm.
The other things are the water lots, and this is something I didn't know before. Did you know that water is owned by the feds?
No, I had no idea. You wouldn't think that okay.
So the Kingston Inner Harbor is actually divided up into water lots, and these are owned by Parks Canada and Transport Canada.
Okay.
And so that's the, again, the federal jurisdiction is on the water lots. And if this development goes ahead with no details on remediation, potentially the water could be severely affected by pollutants washing into their property, our property, really. I mean, we all own it, but we are asking them to the Impact Assessment Agency to look into the potential effects of the remediation plan on the life and health of the waters in the Inner Harbor.
Thank you so much for elaborating a little bit on that. Kind of going forward, with the federal impact assessment being requested, and it was also released just a few days ago that No Clear Cuts has gotten a lawyer to represent the group in an upcoming hearing through the Ontario Land Tribunal, and said lawyer is from the Canadian Environmental Law Association. So moving forward, what are we kind of looking at in terms of this development in No Clear Cuts Kingston? Now, obviously nothing is like in place, and it's kind of hard to say what can be expected.
Yeah, it is a little bit difficult to predict, especially the timeline of how the proceedings will take place. We actually have a hearing. It's a pre-merit hearing, and it's on February 21st. And No Clear Cuts Kingston has applied for what's called party status.
Okay.
And this allows us to, with our lawyer from CELA, which we're so grateful for. We just found out about this a couple of weeks ago, so because we were starting to wonder how are we going to afford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Before this pre-merit hearing, which will actually determine whether we can be accepted as a party.
Okay.
The developer's lawyer will probably fight to not have us there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, important in this, and I don't know if I don't know what stage everybody's in. Anybody in the city can participate by writing a letter. You can't actually speak or interrogate the experts brought in by the developer, but you can submit a letter. But that has to be done by February 10th. And it's on the OLT site, and it's called the participant application form. I'm just putting this out there because the more people that we get submitting letters to apply to be a participant, the more obviously the hearing will be influenced, I'm hoping, by the number of people that write about their concerns about this development.
If there are people listening out there and you are concerned and you want to help in any way that you can to protect not just those living here in Kingston, but also the wildlife, the environment, especially in such a time of a climate crisis, please take Carrie's advice and send a letter. Again, how can people do that?
Yeah, so if they go to the OLT, Ontario Land Tribunal site, there will be a section of forms, and within the forms, there's the participant application. It's just a one-page thing. You have to put down right on it the OLT number for this development, which is it can also be accessed there within the case status. You just put in Kingston and you'll see Two River Street, and there'll be an OLT number, and then they just email it to the person. The fellow's name is Ben Bath, capital B-E-N, capital B-A-T-H, at ontario.ca. They mail the completed form to him.
I wanted to ask another question. You were talking a little bit about it earlier, but you know, the first proposal that was put forth by the developer, like you said, it was rejected by City Council because of all these unanswered questions and a lot of this ambiguity, and then they appealed to the OLT. And I was also reading a little bit about it, and it says that City Council was discussing a lot of these matters and making a lot of decisions behind closed doors and not really in public City Council meetings. And I just kind of wanted to gauge your thoughts on that and maybe what you think should be done in regards to the sort of transparency and maybe accountability of this whole situation.
Yeah, I think this applies to a lot of municipalities in Ontario. The in-camera sessions are meant to be for sensitive issues that, say, involving land sales or involving lawyers. But decisions that whatever was decided, we don't know what was decided behind closed doors about, and really even whether they discussed the tannery. There that seems to be the situation, but I can't, you know, we don't know what happened. The problem is when decisions are made without the public, who the council is working for us, without us knowing what's going on about situations that are not sensitive, that don't require, you know, legal decisions to be made, which this doesn't at this point, then decisions can get made and can be signed off, and that's it. And so we need to know how decisions are being made and what is being discussed. There's no reason to have decisions that don't involve legal machinations to be occurring behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Thank you for that. Is there anything that you'd like to mention that we didn't get a chance to cover and talk about that you'd like to share with listeners?
I've been down to the tannery land and the marshes there, and I've heard tapes that were recordings that were done by another faculty member at Queen's, current faculty, of all of the birds singing, and I've seen bullfrogs down there. Biological environmental survey that was done for the developer said that this was a dead area. And you know, there's no life there, and the life that is there, the trees, they're all invasive species. This is not true, and this really has people, if you have a chance, of course it's all frozen right now, but you can listen to the recordings of the birds, including I picked up the call of a least bittern, and these are endangered small herons in Ontario. So, you know, we can, they use the marsh. We can't be destroying something that is going to be here long after we're gone.
Yeah,
and is doing so much benefit for the city. In terms of remediation and, you know, it's remediating itself, the poisons that we put there over the last 100 years. And it's just I don't want to sound like a tree hugger, but I guess I am by nature.
Go for it.
But it really is a very, very short-sighted way of looking at the environment around us. The housing aspect, it's not going to be providing very much affordable housing. Most of it is going to be luxury condos on the waterfront.
Yeah.
And this to me, to destroy all of this and for this sort of housing, when there is a housing crisis, but it's mm-hmm. not for luxury condos. There's a housing crisis for affordable housing.
Yes, yeah. Completely.
And this is not being addressed. I mean, the message that someone, council and the mayor do say that, you know, it's desperate. We need this housing. We need this to be built. Well, no, we don't need we need affordable housing. We don't need luxury housing, which is probably going to be investments for people flipping, who knows.
Yeah.
But it's just not answering the true requirement for more affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights, giving us more background information, and just talking to us more about what this development proposal is proposing and what are sort of the, effects and impacts that it will have on our community, on our wildlife, on us. So thank you so much for sharing and for taking the time to just chat with me about it. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I really enjoyed myself, and I hope that if anybody has any questions, you know, they can contact the No Clear Cuts and Kingston, and, I'll be very happy to share more information with people. And I really appreciate, you had some great questions, all of them, very good questions.
Thank you so much.